Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. As we begin our study of Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, we'll say part A, and the phrase, the firstborn of every creature. Now this text is abused by the cults and the heretics and the apostates to deny the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. And by ignoring the context, or urging you to ignore the context, and by ignoring the whole testimony of Scripture, false teachers try to use this text to teach that Jesus was a created being, who then was given the power to create all other things by God the Father. And that is rank heresy. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the creator of all creatures and everything in creation. He is not a created being, but the eternal God and creator of all things. And we'll see that as we study this text, but we will also begin this study with a current events update, which is less than 5 minutes in length, but is very important for Christians to understand. Now, we've done this periodically, and we'll continue to do so with even more frequency. Some folks, not very many, but some folks don't like it. They're just going to have to get over it. As pastors, we have a duty to speak to the events of the day from a biblical perspective. The failure of pastors to do this is largely why we are in the mess that we're in today. It was such a failure that led to the legalization of abortion. And I don't have time to prove that, but that's just the statement I'll make and let you look into that and see what you think. And this preacher will never shrink from that duty to speak to the events of the day from Scripture. Ignorance is rampant among Bible Christians, and it's a shame that brings reproach to the cause of Christ. Just put it bluntly, some unsaved person speaking to you and you're an ignoramus, and they can't even talk to you and as an informed citizen of the United States of America, as an informed human being in the 21st century, why would they want to listen to you about something that happened 2,000 years ago that was done to save them from their sins? Just think about that, and you'll realize how important it is for Christians to be informed. And we ought to want to know how to think and how to understand the times from a biblical perspective. And that's our motive for discussing current events for a few minutes before most of our Bible studies. Now, if you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, titled, The Firstborn of Every Creature. This is part 1 of 2.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, if you want to get your Bibles open. The firstborn of every creature. All right, before we get into our study, I want to provide a current events update. There's about a dozen things that we could talk about every week, but we have received a lot of response with these current events updates, and the idiots are only about one to every three responses. Not too bad. And the other two are thanking me for bringing these things out. Helping them to understand the issues. And there's the big one, I believe, this week is right there. The Time magazine cover with the little baby crying, looking up at President Trump. And that is a complete lie. The mainstream media is a propaganda wing of the Democrat Socialist Party. I've kind of gone away from calling it fake news media because it's not really fake. It's propaganda for the democratic socialists. And the truth is that this little girl, that's the original picture. And she was never separated from her mother. They recorded her crying for daddy. It's a thing that will happen today with about 20 million children at some point are going to cry for mommy or daddy. They aren't being separated from them. They aren't being put in cages. They're just crying for mommy and daddy. And it's a big stinking lie. And the child abusers are the parents of these children. If you are taking your child to a border of a foreign government where you know your child's going to be thrown into a detention center, you're the abuser. And everybody who says otherwise is a liar, and anybody here or anybody watching online, if you believe that crap, you believe lies. Amen. And the reason they are telling you these lies is because Donald Trump is standing against killing babies. Donald Trump is standing for the Constitution. Donald Trump is taking us out of the United Nations. Amen. Donald Trump is doing one thing after another that the godless liberals of this country hate. That's why they're attacking him on this issue and lying about it. Folks, you need to understand it. When they attack Trump, it's you, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, it's you they hate. Amen. Go on and on about it, but I won't. But here, I want you to look at this. This is a little map of Mexico. There are 9 U.S. consulates and 1 U.S. embassy in Mexico where any non-U.S. citizen can apply for asylum without any risk of being separated from their children. If you believe these people have to be at the border, and you believe that Trump's a boogeyman who's putting these poor people in detention centers, and you believe that nonsense, you are being suckered. You're believing lies. And I'm trying to get, there are so many of these professing Christians out there who will week after week write me, you just keep writing, baby. I'm just going to keep telling the truth. You are an idiot. You believe lies. You are a sucker if you're falling for the news media. And it's you, if you're a Christian, that they are doing this for. They hate you. And it's because our president's doing the things that Christians want. He didn't light up the White House in the fag flag. Amen. Like Obama did. Amen. They loved Obama because he's one of them. And they hate Trump because he's doing the things Christians want. You should remember that. Just like when they hate you. Why? Not because of you. It's because of Jesus. Now just let this sink in. Since September 11, 2001, 63,000 Americans have been killed by illegals. There are 63,000 Americans that should be alive right now, and they're dead because our government allowed illegals to come into our borders and kill Americans. And I'm going to continue to preach that and preach that and preach that until people get it, which ain't going to happen. There you go. So let's open with prayer. And remember that all this stuff we're seeing, I keep telling you this too, it's biblical. The Bible said this is the kind of thing that's going to happen at the end times. And eventually, I hope and pray it doesn't happen until after the rapture, but eventually they're going to start throwing you in prison. They're going to start jailing you. And eventually they're going to kill you, just like they did the early Christians in Rome. But that's what the Bible said would happen, so we know the Bible is true. Amen? Because we see it coming about. I just knocked that over. All right, let's go ahead and open with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time to come together and to discern by the Word of God, looking at what's going on in the world through the vision you give us by your Spirit, through your Word. And I pray for all of our brethren who are completely blinded by this world, blinded by the God of this world, who refuse to look at world events through the Scriptures, who refuse to recognize who the real enemy is and be thankful for those who are our friends, whether or not they're saved. And in reference to Trump, Lord, we pray for his salvation. I don't know whether he's saved. I'm not convinced he is. And I pray that he would be saved. Same for Melania. Our vice president, his wife, make a profession. We're thankful for that. There are a lot of congressmen. Some of them are really good men, but I haven't heard a real profession of faith out of many of them. We would love to see them be saved. Not just be right on the issues, but be right with you. And so we thank you for all the Christians that are up there serving, but there are not very many. And Lord, we pray that people will open their eyes to what's really going on. And as we open this book, Lord, help us to see it's not just about us. There's a big world out there. There are a lot of false religions, a lot of cults, a lot of false doctrines that Christians are embracing. There's apostasy growing. More and more Christians are being sucked into heresies. We need to know this book to guard our hearts and to stay true to this book and no other. And to stay true, in staying true to this book, we will stay true to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we ask for your help as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. The firstborn of every creature is what we're titling this study in Colossians 1:15. And we're going to read verse 14 and 15 just to give it the context. So if you would, read with me, beginning verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Next week we're going to get into his being the creator. That's going to be fun. But we want to focus in this message, this study, on the second half of verse 15. Last week we looked at who is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is God. And he is the second person of our the Godhead. Our Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. There are not three gods, but one God in three persons. It's spelled out in 1 John 5:7. And if you don't know this, I'm just giving you this as an example. You need to wake up. Every one of you in this room, including the young people and the old people, you are going to answer for you. And if you're not going to wake up and look at this stuff, then you're going to answer for that. No one, you're not going to ride anybody's coattails. You're not going to get in on somebody else's Bible study. And as you go through life, you're going to be a sucker if you don't learn this book. It's only by learning this book that you can know truth from error. And in this book, Jesus is presented as God in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. Now, if you have a new Bible, NIV, ESV, or whatever, that's not in your Bible. So you need to get rid of it and get a King James. This is another part that they corrupt in the new Bibles. It says the firstborn of what?
Every creature.
The firstborn of every creature. And understanding this phrase has spared Christians from being deceived by cults, because this is one of the places where they run and basically try to deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Here's an example. I just decided, since this was easy to get a hold of, this is a screenshot from the Jehovah's Witness, JW.org website. And they have all their magazines and things up there, and you can do a search and find what they teach. This is from the Awake magazine going back to 1979. There's many other examples I could use. On page 28 of that edition, blow it up there for you. You might be able to see it better. This is taken right from their publication. Quote, there are many who object to the idea of Jesus as being a created person. Yes, I object. They argue that since in him all things were created, that's next week, during his pre-human existence in heaven, Jesus himself could not be a creature. Amen. Such individuals believe, that's us, that Jesus is himself Almighty God. The second person of a trinity of three co-equal, co-eternal persons in one Godhead. Amen. That's exactly what we believe. That's it. Yeah. But that's, they're talking about other people being right, and they are arguing against it. Now, this is from the same article, page 29. Blow it up there. Since Jesus, as the, see how they, watch this phrase. Since Jesus as the firstborn of all creation. What's your Bible say? Firstborn of? You see that slight change? Just like the devil. Slight, subtle change. They changed the Bible right there in this, and we'll show you why. Since Jesus as the firstborn of all creation is a created person. See how they do that? He cannot be Almighty God. Well, that's true if he was created, but he's not. The Scriptures repeatedly portray him as in a position subordinate to God. No, subordinate to his Father. See the subtle changes they make there? For example, concerning the resurrected Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul wrote, this is their translation, I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a woman is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. That is a positional difference. Positionally. So what's their error? They are taking passages that show Jesus' position, and they are pretending that those passages apply to his nature. Look close at that. You need to understand that. That's the kind of sleight of hand you get at magic shows in Vegas. They're tricking you. You go to Vegas, go watch a magic show. It can be fun, but it's all trickery. Just like this. They're tricking you. Now, just think of the president and vice president. Doesn't matter what year, you can go all the way back to George Washington. Pence is under Trump in position, but they are both human. Amen? The son is under the authority of the father. He's still God. God the Father is God, and God the Son is God. He is begotten of the Father, not created. The Bible never says Jesus was created. He was begotten of the Father. Now, just think of yourself. Stephen and Mariah, they've got a beautiful little baby here today. Little Gloria. And Gloria was begotten of Stephen and Mariah. Stephen and Mariah, believe it or not, Stephen is human. Stephen and Mariah, he's not superhuman, he's human. And Stephen and Mariah had a human baby. Gloria is under their authority. That's her position, but she's, her nature, human. And they both have a sinful nature. And so you just hang around Gloria long enough, you'll see that sinful nature. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's exactly in the sense of deity. Jesus begotten of the Father. The Father is God. What's begotten of the Father is also God. No difference. The Bible says this about Jesus in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God.
Amen.
Now the Jehovah's Witnesses said he's not the Almighty God. And what they try to do is play the game and say, well, he's the Mighty God, not the Almighty God. There's no difference. That's semantics. There's no difference. If you're the Mighty God, you're the Almighty God. So how do they get the idea that Jesus is created? How do they get that idea? We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They really do care. And they're not just trying to make a new religion so a hierarchy of individuals can live like kings, which is what is actually going on in the Jehovah's Witness right now. They have a committee, and that committee lives like kings. But we'll just give them the benefit of the doubt. That's not what it's all about. Charles Taze Russell and Judge Rutherford and the rest of them, it wasn't about them just living like a king. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. First of all, they ignore the context, and they use bad Bibles. We saw the context is about position, not nature. But they also get it by using bad Bibles. This is from their website. They have their own Bible called the New World Translation. And you can see, and this is the New World Translation. They revised it in 2003, I think it was. The first one, I believe, was finished in 1984. But they still, I think, all say the same thing here. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. You see that? That's their Bible. What's our Bible say? See the difference? The firstborn of all creation, the firstborn of every creature. Not of all creation. There you go. I hear people still all the time trying to, there's no difference between those new Bibles and King James. You got to be completely, ridiculously dumb to say that when you see these kind of things. That's different. There's a difference. Amen? And would you be surprised to see that the Jehovah's Witness translation matches other new versions? Would that surprise you? Oh, yeah, it would? Okay. Well, here he is again, the firstborn of all creation. And look, exactly, ESV. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Ignoring the context. That's why, what are the three rules of interpretation? Context, context, context. You ignore the context, you can make the Bible say anything. Yeah, people say, I've been where some, you can make that Bible say anything. And some well-meaning Christians say, no, you can't. No, you can't. No, you. Yeah, you can. I believe God made it that way. We talked about it Wednesday about having enough rope to hang yourself. If you want to go to hell, God's not going to stop you. And He's given you all the rope you need. Amen. And when it comes to these new Bibles, there are these people who are arrogant, proud. A lot of them like to boast and pretend they know Greek and Hebrew. They don't. Not even the people who translated them. Take all their little books away, set them in a chair in the middle of a room with nothing around to grab, and just ask them to read the Greek or Hebrew texts. You can use any of them, Masoretic or the Stuttgartensian Old Testament, or you can use the Received Text or the United Bible Society, whichever. Give them whatever they want, and then ask them to just start reading and translating that. It won't take long, especially if you didn't give them a heads up so they could study before they showed up. They don't know Greek. If you took them in a time machine and dropped them in 30 A.D., they wouldn't be able to carry on a conversation, and they wouldn't know what people were even talking about. They might know, water and poo-poo, translated dung in our King James Bible. But they wouldn't be able to carry on. They don't know the languages, folks. This isn't about making a better translation. This is about money. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Every one of these new versions, the ESV is owned by a particular publishing house, and they get all the profits. The NIV is owned, and I think they're, who is it owns the NIV now? I'm trying to think. Yeah, but the Blackman Foundation was who used to own it, but I was thinking that it was bought up by Holman. That's it. Holman's the Southern Baptist. No, it's the New King James is owned by the Thomas Nelson. NIV is owned by Zondervan, and that's a subsidiary of another larger group. But that's who it is. The Christian Standard Bible that you'll see at Lifeway down here. Why? Because Lifeway is a Southern Baptist bookstore. And the Holman Christian, or the Christian Standard Bible, is owned by Holman. Holman is the Southern Baptist publisher. They make all the money off of it. That's what it's about. And they don't care really about how accurate it is. And they're using the Vatican text. All these new Bibles are Vatican versions. We've got still got a couple of copies, I think, of our Vatican Versions documentary. It's available online, 3 45-minute segments, where we show you all the evidence to demonstrate this. New versions are Vatican versions taken from Codex Vaticanus. That's why they are corrupt. They come from a corrupt text. They're translated by corrupt people. And they're produced for a corrupt purpose. There you go. Three strikes, you're out. Amen? But the right Bible leads you to right doctrine. Amen? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for... But if what you've got in your hands is not real Scripture, then it's unprofitable. And that right Bible would be the King James Version. Let me hear you say amen. We'll have to have somebody just go down and get some coffee and make everybody drink a cup. Hey, I'll just let you know this. The good news is if the rapture happens, you'll go before me and the dead in Christ rise first. So again, the firstborn of every creature is not talking about being created. It's talking about position, as we said a moment ago. Jesus is preeminent. Say that word with me. Preeminent. Sometimes there are big words you need to learn. That's just one that because if you try to put it in other words, like fewer syllables, fewer letters, just don't work. This is the best one I've found. And it's preeminent is the word. It's not a Bible word. It's a word to describe Bible doctrine. The spiritual infants out there will say, well, if it's not in the Bible, I don't think you should use it. You know, like the word rapture. That's not in the Bible, so you shouldn't use that word. And calling the tribulation great tribulation, it doesn't actually call it that, and it does. But they'll say that. Jesus referred to Daniel 70 week as a time of great tribulation. So if you call it the great tribulation, it's because Jesus said there was only one of them, the great tribulation period. What are other words we've talked about? Incarnation. And I said, do you realize, what's this book I got in my hand? What is that?
Bible.
Holy Bible. You realize that's not in the Bible? All the spiritual infants out there that want to nitpick like that, they should never call this book a Bible. The Bible never says it's a Bible. So you shouldn't call it that, right? Wrong. So a non-biblical word is defined here in Webster's 1828, superior in excellence, distinguished for something commendable or honorable. In other words, Jesus is commendable, honorable, distinguished above all others. Do you agree with that? Then you believe that Jesus is preeminent, whether you want to use that word or not. You believe it. This is from Matthew Henry's commentary. I love this information. Quote, the firstborn, or the eldest son, among the Hebrews as elsewhere, had peculiar privileges. He was entitled to a double portion of the inheritance. It has been also, and especially in Oriental countries, a common thing for the eldest son to succeed to the estate and the title of his father. End quote. That's why Jesus is the firstborn among the sons of God. We're all sons of God. He's preeminent. He's the firstborn.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.